hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we got a big show in store for you today. Stick around. You're going to want to pay attention. You might pick up a few tips or two as we delve into the latest diving news and information. All right. So, look, there's been a lot of stuff going on with the trips I have coming up. I'm going to the Maldives here in May for my 50th birthday with Explorer Ventures. I can't wait. I'm actually going to be shooting some new, using some new equipment, these GoPro cameras, and I have three of them. I have a GoPro Black, and I have two silver editions. I'm definitely going to be taking the black one, black edition underwater. That's like their high-end GoPro camera that shoots high-def video and, I don't know, 12-megapixel stills. It has all the bells and whistles to it. I'm really anxious to get this thing underwater with some lighting from Light and Motion and get some great shots of our mermaids, the scuba cowboy, and maybe a few critters that swim into the frame now and then when we're in the Maldives. But I haven't worked with these cameras before. And so I'm starting to reach out to the diving community and find out who has. We've talked to a few folks already, but a good friend of mine in Grenada is on the phone right now from Aquanauts Grenada. Of course, I'm talking about Peter, and he has been working with the GoPro cameras, and he is on Scuba Radio via Skype right now. Peter, how are you, my friend?
Hey, all is great. Hello, Greg, and all the listeners.
Yes, you know, you sound right, you know, working via Skype, you sound like you're right there with us. I love it. So we're right next to each other. We're very close, Peter. You might want to put up a protective barrier. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you coughing. I see.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so let's talk about these GoPro cameras, because you've been using at least, I don't know which edition you have of GoPro camera, but you've been taking it down there to the Bianca Sea there in Grenada, haven't you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as usual, we go for the best. So we have the black edition of the Hero 3.
Nice.
I started using them this year, and after some initial troubles, and I have to say customer service was outstanding, you know. So because it was a new product, was little issues, so they replaced them, no questions asked, and I got the new cameras rolling now, and they're doing an amazing job.
Yeah, nice. Now, what are you noticing using these small little cameras? Now, I've already got a prescription dive mask, so I could actually see the instructions on the little LED display there on these GoPros, because it's dinky. But I got that problem solved. But what about getting good images from this camera? It looks like it shoots amazing images on the surface when you have bright light and stuff, but when you go underwater and you lose the light, are you using a filter? Are you going lights? What are you doing?
Yeah, so there's basically different options that you can do. Definitely, I have to order the filters now. I just went like through the initial stages, testing it, how deep will it work, etc. And definitely, the filters are a must if you're diving a little bit deeper. For any close-up stuff, it's definitely recommended having a good video light so you bring the color back in, which is more effective than a filter. And yeah, you have to familiarize yourself with the buttons, with the functions. Once you've done that, it's actually very easy.
Yeah, it's just a matter of getting the frame upright. Whether you have, are you using the LED or LCD screen on the back of the GoPro camera, that option or not?
Yes, that is an option because it really, especially underwater, it helps you framing. I think on land it's not that important because you have a better idea like what you're looking at. Everything is easier. But underwater, it definitely helps when you're doing video or pictures that you can frame your picture correctly already. and then you just go.
Now, you've mentioned pictures. Are you shooting stills with this GoPro Black Edition, or are you doing video, or a nice combination of the two, or what?
Yeah, I'm playing with both, and one of the features that I like best of it is, like, you can do the time-lapse shot. So I was just like running a rebreather course, and I wanted to have some pictures. Okay, you can't teach people and take pictures at the same time. So basically what I do, I park the camera with a little tripod on the sand.
Right.
And then I put it on the time-lapse mode. And then I deal with my students, everything. And when we're finished, I just pick up the camera, and it takes a picture whatever you want, every 5 seconds, every 10 seconds, every minute. And automatically you do that. You have it standing there for half an hour. You get some good shots.
Interesting. So, and then you play it back, and it looks like you're teaching your divers in fast motion, or what does it do exactly?
Yeah, okay, if you would put it in a movie, that's kind of what it looked like. So there's a lot of things you can play about with, you know. It has great, great capabilities.
Nice. All right, well, that sounds like fun. I got three of them. We'll use one of the silvers, do one of these time-lapse captures of maybe one of our mermaid shoots, or when we're shooting a video over the scuba cowboy. So you definitely give it two fins up, is what you're saying, Peter, right?
Oh yeah, I would definitely give it. I mean, normally I'm traveling with a larger housing camera and everything, and that's, you know, you carry that thing around all the time, and you know, it's a big improvement there. You know, you have this little thing just hanging on the side, and
nice.
You shoot something, you have something, and you get a reasonable image out of it.
There you go. Lighter, faster, stronger, better, or something like that. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. You know, with all the flight restrictions and everything, flying to the Maldives, yeah, I need to go definitely lighter. So I'm definitely pulled to these cameras for that sense. So I'm looking forward to using it. All right, let's talk about Grenada. Obviously, you have plenty of subjects to take, whether it's your, you know, you're teaching in class air, the rebreathers, the inspiration, or the evolution, or you're just diving the Bianca Sea. What have you been seeing lately down there underwater in Grenada?
Oh, we had lots of eagle rays, manta rays being around, which is a little bit unusual for this time of the year.
Yeah, manta rays?
It was really, really good.
Well, you said manta rays? Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know you had those. So, I mean, at certain times of the year, they just cruise through, or what?
Yeah, normally we see them during the summer season from June through September. So we always have some resident groups of manta rays, you know, swimming up and down the beach, etc.
Nice.
But we have the odd ones during the year. But over the last month, basically, we had a lot of sightings of manta rays.
Awesome. Well, I didn't know that. There's another reason to go back to Grenada. I love swimming with mantas. That's just an amazing thing. And, okay, so the eagle rays on the Bianca Sea. What about the sculpture park? I'm seeing some pretty cool pictures come out of that. Matter of fact, is that deck... I saw some post on Facebook from you that there's like a bench. Is that part of the sculpture park where you're off-gassing after your three-hour rebreather dive there? Or is that,
yes.
Or what?
It's just like a park bench-style thing that is made a little bit wider, so even a scuba tank like fits behind it on your back.
Nice.
And you can just sit there, and one of the sculptures, the older Ring of the Children, is right there. Last year we put in a new Ring of the Children that got sponsored by companies and you know, people here on the island. So we also have our own child there, you know. Nice girl. She's coming along.
Yeah, okay.
She starts growing some algae and some coral. So.
Yeah, and you have, like, birthday celebrations for her, the whole thing. And it's underwater. It's a statue. It's kind of, I don't know. It's not, I don't want to say creepy. It's cool. It's very, it's a neat thing to see what they have underwater there in Grenada.
That's true. And it makes sure a creepy night dive.
Okay, there you go. It's like the Children of the Corn underwater. Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's where you got me. That's what I'm talking about.
You also do the fluorescent diving there, you know, at night.
Yeah.
So you have the biofluorescence, something very interesting. It starts becoming a little bit more mainstream now. You find more places where it's offered. And it's, you know, if you think night diving, been there, done that, try this, completely different experience.
Well, I was talking to the folks at Light Motion last week about that, actually, and they're going to send us some lights to give that a go. I saw that a few years ago, and I thought, I don't know. You know, when it was very primitive, but now they've streamlined it, and yeah, I'm getting more and more reports from folks that just love this, that it changed their whole outlook of night diving. And I guess you're amongst that community, I guess, right, Peter?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. So once again, it's aquanautsgrenada.com. That's how they can reach you there in Grenada and come down and do some diving, right?
Yes, exactly.
And you have a rebreather course. If you want to pick up that, you can do a week of rebreather diving with Peter and Galinda at Aquanauts Grenada. Those classes start when? June or when?
Yeah, basically, classes can pretty much start anytime. So we are two rebreather instructors here at the moment. We will be three sometime soon. And so we have also rental units. So we are not basically offer you just a course. We are offering a rebreather experience. So we have the units. That means you're not sure about this. You want to try this, but you don't want to spend the money yet. So you just do the course. You get a full week of diving and training. And there's a lot of fun diving involved in that, too, without having to spend the money.
Yes. I'm telling you, you really need to do this and give these rebreathers a shot. Not only will it change your whole outlook on diving, but you'll get to hang out with Peter and Galinda from Aquanauts Grenada. And they are one of the most awesome couples you'll ever meet in the dive industry. Just fun, fun folk.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio. Time now for Scuba Radio's forgotten acronyms in diving history, FADH, or as we like to call it around here, FAD.
Benevolent Operators Oogling Babes in Erotic Scuba Gear. Boobies.
This has been Forgotten Acronyms in Diving History. FAD. On Scuba Radio.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. All we can say is we're sorry. I think we need to just add that into our slug line. World's first radio show devoted to diving, / I'm sorry. All right, time to check in with Paradise. Yes, I mean that literally. I have Alan from the resort Paradise. That's the name of the resort in Fiji on Scuba Radio right now via Skype. How are you, Alan? Or Bula?
Hey, I'm good, Greg.
Yes.
Bula.
Yeah, so how are things in Paradise today? Or on halfway around the world there? What do you think?
Well, look, it's actually not a really good day. The sun's out, completely shiny. The ocean's as calm as can be. And everyone's having a really good time. So it's not really a good day here.
Yeah, that's a bad day in Paradise, okay?
There's some Exactly.
That's the beautiful thing when you reside in Fiji. Paradise Resort, by the way, just a beautiful, beautiful place. I've shown my wife these pictures from our trip there a couple years ago, Alan, and she has kicked me several thousand times. You hear what I'm saying? I'm sure you get this a lot from your guests. And matter of fact, you have some there, some, what, travel agents that are getting ready for the Dive Fiesta event in Fiji, where they're kind of learning about the area to pitch back to their folks back home and you know, their customers and such?
Yeah. Well, the Dive Fiesta is in its 12th year here at the moment, and wholesale travel owners and travel agents that specialize in scuba diving, and they actually come up and view all the dive resorts and actually go diving, so they can give first-hand accounts to potential clients that want to come up here and dive in the north of Fiji.
Yeah, so you've been hosting them for the last few days leading up to this event there at Paradise, and obviously you have a hangover. I'm getting, because hosting them, well, you got to drink a lot of the cava, maybe mixed in with a real cocktail or two, I'm guessing. Is that what you're doing, Alan, or what? Come on.
Hey, we're doing that every single night. so even last night, we all went out for a night dive, came back, had some dinner, a few cocktails, and then sat down and sang a few songs with the boys and drank quite a bit of cava. So the head's a little bit hazy this morning.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about that. So you went on a night dive off the resort in Paradise in Fiji, in Taviuni, right? That's the island,
yep.
Right?
What
kind of things do you see there on a night dive? Because we didn't do a night dive when I was there last time, and I have to come back and do that. But I can only imagine, because just off the you know, the shoreline or the edge of the resort, you had those flashlight fish. I wanted to jump in the water and just swim around with those guys, but I can't imagine what you would have on a night dive there off of Paradise.
Well, I mean, the flashlight fish were out in full force last night, but we didn't actually see them while we were diving. We spent quite a bit of time, because we're one of the agents is a photographer as well, so we spent quite a bit of time with our eight blue ribbon eels that live right off the shore.
Wow.
And, then as we were continuing on, we came across about three of the twin-spotted scorpion fish, which just a freak of nature with how they look, so they spent a bit of time with that. And then we came across, we're still trying to find it in the book, a really strange-looking triggerfish that had a tail almost as big as its whole body. It was almost, if you think of the infinity symbol, that's almost what it looked like with the tail and the body, and we're still trying to, you know, find that in the books to see what sort of fish that was.
Infinity fish. Well, you know, flashlight fish, infinity fish. Throw that one in the hopper.
Yep.
Are you already taking name suggestions? Whoever finds it, if you can't find it in a book, gets to name it. Isn't that how it works? I think finders, keepers, namers, weepers, I don't know, something like that, right? Come on.
But Greg, the strange thing about that fish was, like, we had the torches on it, obviously, and when there was one torch on one side, one on the other side, you could actually see right through the whole fish. It was an amazing thing. So we've got a couple of photos of it as well. So that was good. We'll have a look at that today.
It doesn't sound like a fish. It sounds like an alien, like from that movie The Abyss or something. Because if anything like that were to exist, it'd probably exist in Fiji. Some of the most amazing diving and colorful diving and unique diving. These critters are just crazy. So are you doing this yourself, yeah, Alan? Did you take them out there and dive yourself, or was that out with with the dive operator that works with you there at the hotel?
No, it was myself and our dive master. We both went out because we had seven of the agents here last night. Oh, sorry, five agents, and we took two of our guests that are in here as well who wanted to go out on the night dive, and it was their first night dive. And I mean, you've been here, Greg, you know, like the our shore dive, because we don't have any sort of beach or anything like that. It's just a 300-foot drop off, you know, 30 feet off our cliff edge.
Yeah, pretty sweet. Pretty sweet indeed.
It was their first night dive, and they were buzzing the whole night. They actually didn't need any cocktails afterwards to get a buzz on, because they were just buzzing all night.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah, I mean, when we were there, you were still putting in a few more bulas, or what are the little bungalows, you call them again? What am I forgetting?
The Berets.
Berets, right, berets. And now you're totally built out, right? Or do you got another construction thing on in the works? What's going on there at Paradise?
Completely finished now with a total of only 17 rooms.
Right. So it's very exclusive, comfortable. I mean, when you're there, you're like you have the whole resort to yourself. It is an amazing thing. Very family, very just romantic. Just, God, man, all these images are coming back in my mind as we just talk about this, Alan. I got to get back. But I don't know how I can do this without taking my wife. You hear what I'm saying? I'm going to have to figure something out here, my friend. What are you doing? Where do you go to escape paradise, Alan? I mean, really?
The funny thing is that we actually travel, like when we go on holidays, we actually holiday within Fiji, and we actually just go to all the other places. Because it's just, mate, where else do you want to go? Once
True.
You've been here, everything else pales in comparison.
Well, it's pretty impressive. There's no doubt about it. And if people want to learn more about the resort called Paradise in Fiji on the island of Taviuni, what's the website they can go to, Alan?
It's paradiseinfiji.com.
Paradiseinfiji.com. Alan, thank you so much. Pleasure catching up, and maybe we'll see you at the Scuba Show in Long Beach in June. Sound good?
Definitely, and I'll actually be there, so we'll definitely catch up.
Absolutely. Bring your kava.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
You got it. All right, coming up, I get this all the time. People email me and say, whatever happened to Mermaid Abby or Nikki Denise or Kelly the Brazilian swimsuit model? Well, Kelly has been working quite a bit. I hear she's been working spring break in Panama City. And we're going to connect with her and find out just what she's been up to next on The Big Show. And we'll answer that question. Whatever happened to Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model? We'll at least knock that one off the list on today's Big Show. That's coming up next, followed by a Dan Good Diving safety tip. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. So every once in a while, I get emails, I get calls, like, whatever happened to so-and-so, or whatever happened to Mermaid Nikki, Mermaid Denise, Abby. Of course, we get a lot of emails of what is going on with Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model. Where has she been since New Year's Eve? Well, she's been drying out since her little adventure there in Bimini. And however, she is on the line right now with me to give us a little update on her diving exploits and just stuff that she does as a Brazilian swimsuit model. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. How's everybody doing?
They are great, I think. I'll speak on behalf of everyone listening. How about that?
All right.
So what have you been doing? I know you just got back from spring break, right? Because that's your gig.
It was nice, very fun. I cannot talk about because whatever happened in spring break stays in spring break.
No, that's Vegas. This was Panama City. Whatever happens in Panama City shows up on Facebook as a wet t-shirt contest.
Maybe you guys are going to have to look for, not sure about.
You're not sure about that, huh? I've seen the pictures, Kelly.
Yeah, and I didn't have a t-shirt, so how you say about that?
I say Papa likes.
Oh, good. I'm glad Papa likes.
Yeah, no, it was all good, clean fun. You were just up there handing out, like, I don't know what, Australian gold samples. That was your sponsor or something like that. And just,
yeah, they are my sponsors, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and they were just, you know, just making all the spring breakers happy to give them something to look at other than, you know, the pretty water and the beach and stuff. You're some of the eye candy that parades up and down the beach to make spring break what it is.
Exactly.
Yes, a memory.
What happened?
Yes.
Good memories.
Absolutely. Did you do any swimming or snorkeling, diving up there in Panama City, or did you see any of those breakers doing any of that kind of stuff, or no?
They were snorkeling. I didn't do it because the water's too cold for me.
Too cold?
Too cold, yes, exactly.
You're prepared to give mouth-to-mouth if necessary.
Like always.
Exactly. Well, that's what a Brazilian swimsuit model does. All right, Kelly, well, thank
all
you
the
for the update. It's always a pleasure, and I'm glad
okay,
we
no
got this moment to catch up with you.
All right, nice talking to you, and I'll see you guys soon.
You got it, Kelly. All right, coming up is a damn good diving safety tip and then more here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 123. Many know that orcas are considered the wolves of the sea. Lesser known is those bloodthirsty sharks are sometimes considered the vampires of the sea. And a war is coming. Twilight, Undersea Bloodbath. Coming soon to a theater near you in IMAX 3D. Scuba Radio is not yet rated. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Looks like you're happy to be here, Nick.
I am. How could you tell?
You're smiling.
You're right. And the smiling was a signal.
I get the feeling. You're signaling our topic for the day.
You ever notice how many signals are out there to help us through our day?
Not really.
Think about it. Everywhere you look, there are signals. Some subtle. Some not, to help communicate what's going on around you. Street signs, traffic lights, calendar alarms. There are tons of them incorporated into our everyday lives, and they've all become really important to us.
Kinda like signaling devices are important to divers?
Saw it coming, huh?
We'll call it one of those not-so-subtle signals.
Well, I appreciate you going into it just the same. Yes, signaling devices are an extremely important aspect of diving, and divers really need to know why as well as what their options are.
Let's start with the why.
Signaling devices are important because they serve a variety of purposes. They allow divers to communicate up close and at a distance, both on the surface and at depth.
All at the same time?
Wise guy. No, it's not likely you'll be doing all of these all at once. But having the proper signaling devices close at hand will allow you to be able to communicate in most situations.
What kind of signaling devices are available?
Well, I'd have to say the visual markers are the front runners when it comes to common usage. Dive lights and tank markers are standard gear on night dives or dives with low visibility. They provide an easy way to keep an eye on your buddy's position or to ensure that you don't lose the group. Attaching a marker to the anchor or a scent line can also be helpful in finding your way back at the end of a dive.
Being in Florida, there's a lot of diving done from shore and private boats. Because of it, I see a lot of floats, flags, and buoys.
All of those are familiar sights, and each serves an important purpose. They indicate the presence of divers below, so other boats and water sports enthusiasts know to watch out for them.
What about visual markers for emergency use?
There are a lot of BCDs out there with signaling mirrors in their pockets, and safety sausages are increasingly considered standard safety gear.
Well, they're not just useful in emergency situations. I know a lot of divers who use safety sausages as buoy markers, drift dive markers, and even secondary lift bags.
They are really pretty versatile.
All of these items are considered visual signaling devices. What other kinds are there?
Probably the next most popular items are the sound-based signaling devices.
You mean like the whistle we're taught to carry from day one?
Exactly. It can be something as simple as that. Or other options that may be integrated into your equipment. There are a number of options out there, and more appear every year.
I'd say there's one more category that I'd like to call the high-tech category. What do you think?
For those of you who want to carry them, yes, there are more and more high-tech options available. Many of these work on frequencies by which the diver transmits signals back to the boat for easy tracking. The first GPS-based two-way radio is even available now. These devices tend to be much more expensive, but it's exciting to see the technology develop.
You weren't kidding when you were saying there are a lot of options.
There are a lot of options, but they all have one thing in common. They allow divers to communicate what's going on with them. They can alert other divers to the diver's position, or they can signal distress and trigger assistance. They can help you navigate or simply keep track of a buddy. Because of the many functions they serve, the importance of signaling devices can't be denied.
Whether you like to be seen or heard, don't be shy when it comes to diving signaling devices. Choose the option that works for you and make sure your message is heard. Do that and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
On the line with me right now is the guy who turned me on to Duck Dynasty. Yes, damn him. But regardless, he's on the phone anyway. It's Captain Cocktail, better known, or maybe not as well known as Captain Jeff there from South Florida Diving Headquarters. How are you, Jeff?
I'm going to rename myself Captain Ducktail.
Yes, exactly. Hey, what are you doing there? Hey.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack.
Exactly. Jack, that's what I'm talking about, Jack. Anyway, yeah, Duck Dynasty show. Oh, my God, it's awesome. At least until Slate's show comes out. In the reality.
Oh, yeah, that could be a real threat to Duck Dynasty.
I'll tell you what, I think it could be. It could be indeed, or it'll be a great double feature once that thing hits the airwaves. But I digress. We'll deal
Diver
with that.
Diver Dynasty,
that's it. Maybe. It could happen. All right, so what's been going on down there in Pompano Beach, Florida, there as far as diving-related activities there, Jeff?
Well, I don't know if you saw, but we had a great white sighting off of Fort Lauderdale. Last week.
I did. I saw that. Now, was that a fisherman that caught it, or I didn't get the whole story, but what happened?
Yeah, a group chartered a boat, and they went out and caught it 180 feet off of Port Everglades.
Wow. So,
13 foot, they estimated over 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, okay. So, did they kill them, or is it still out there, or they just let catch it and release?
No, I'm happy to say they released.
Wow,
and
that's
kudos
nice.
Kudos to them.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do with a 1,300-pound great white anyway? Seriously. That's a lot of sushi. It's a lot of shark. Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. Have the divers ever seen a great white down there in South Florida?
I have a friend of mine that was diving a couple weeks ago and said he had seen one. Now,
really?
I don't have a confirmation of that, but I take him on his word. He's pretty reliable usually. They were out pretty deep and they were spear fishing and they happened to see one, and rightly so, they got out of the water.
Yeah, exactly. It's one thing to be challenged by a nurse shark for your spear fishing catch, but if a great white or even a bull shark comes up, as like, okay, hey, see ya. Yeah,
it's funny you mentioned the nurse shark, because they had come upon a huge nurse shark underwater that had been torn apart, and they had guessed possibly that the great white had caught it and killed it.
Really?
But, yeah, that was his theory anyway, and they abruptly got out of the water. But, I mean, these are very rare sightings down here. I mean, they come through, but I think scientists are saying that they think that there are going to be more sightings simply because of the food source. Of the protection of their food source is increased, so their numbers are increasing a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got all these spring breakers, and you know,
my theory is, you know, as America has gotten plumper, that they may start looking better than
that's right.
Seals.
As Americans get plumper, they look more like seals, which is in the food chain of the great white. Yeah, it's a sad. State of affairs.
We need to clarify that. That's not happening.
No, no. We kid. Come on. No, the chances of seeing a shark.
George Burgess calling me up.
Yeah, well, you know, the reality is the chances of even seeing a shark, let alone a great white, are rare. There's only a few dives that you can actually go out and search and see them on a regular basis. Down there in South Florida, you have some nurse sharks that are residents of the area that are fairly common sightings, but anything like a great white or a hammerhead or oceanic white tip or any of these more intense type animals, chances of seeing them are practically nil unless you go to a place where they've been chummed in or something, or you're spear fishing. That's always a possibility where you might get
your probability increases.
A surprise visit.
We see hammerheads at certain times of the year, not in any great numbers, but any of those big sharks like the tiger shark, the great white shark, that's very, very rare that we have sightings of those down here.
Right. Well, what else is going on? I know in a couple weeks in Pompano, you get this big seafood fest, right?
Yeah, Seafood Fest is the annual Seafood Fest is coming up. Not this weekend, but next weekend. You can come down and do some diving, dive with some great white sharks.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Right.
And then hit the Seafood Festival. Gorge out on the great seafood. And they got live entertainment from Friday through Sunday. All day on the beach. I think 38 Specials playing. And
nice.
A number of different good bands are playing on the beach. So.
Yeah, and they just redid the whole ocean front there in Pompano Beach, right? So this is like the first big coming out event for the city of Pompano, I believe.
Yeah, they redid the whole beachside area down there, and you coming down?
Well, I may have to work that into the schedule. I have to wait and see if we can get some diving in there with Jeff at South Florida Diving Headquarters, southfloridadiving.com, and then spend the surface interval there at the Seafood Fest. I could think of worse places to be.
We got to get you in a camo outfit, then, and you need to start growing a beard.
Hey, don't make me come down there. Hey, I'll show you what's going on there, Jack.
Can't be stupid.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Can't we just keep it closed and mark it rest in peace?
Not as long as naval scientists are trying to prove that porpoises have brain structures rivaling man's. Tests every day are proving these sea creatures are so intelligent and possess such amazing faculties that they seem almost human. Even superhuman.
Lady Dolphin and her dolphin boat were swimming out to sea one day. All the other lady dolphins smiled, but they were smiling in that subtle dolphin way. as I said, I love you till the day I'm dead. Cause I need you like this hole in my head. I need you like this hole in my head.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And continuing a little bit on our theme from earlier, like, where are they now? On the line with me is Mermaid Lacey from the Florida Keys. Lacey, how are you?
I'm doing really good. How are you, Greg?
Good, good. Now, I play the little dolphin music because you're down there frolicking with the dolphins at Theater by the Sea, right?
Theater of the Sea,
or
yeah.
Of the Sea. By the Sea, of the Sea. Yeah, it's down there in Isla Mirada, right? Or Tavernier, or both? What is it?
It's in Isla Mirada, okay. Florida Keys.
Right, just north of Tavernier. And
just south of Tavernier.
See, I don't have any of it right, but it doesn't matter. It was close enough. It's right down there. You go down there. It's a cool little marine park that Lacey's been working at for a while. That's what you've been up to. Not necessarily working with the dolphins, but working with some of the other critters they have on display that you can kind of go down there and get up close and personal with. Right, Lacey?
Yeah, I work with a lot of really cool animals. I work with some different sea turtles. A couple of American alligators, an American crocodile, all kinds of fish, stingrays, and nurse sharks, as a matter of fact.
Okay, now, I didn't know about the alligator and crocodile things. What exactly are you doing with those? Wrestling them? No, that's not right.
No wrestling involved. We actually train them.
You train the crocodiles?
Yeah.
So what do you train them to do exactly? Take out the unsuspecting tourist that's visiting Theater of the Sea? No, that can't be it.
Oh, yes, that's exactly it.
If they complain.
And anytime those unsuspecting tourists leave any of their kids, unattended.
Right,
they
right.
They send them after them.
I like it. I mean, I think I got to get down there sooner as opposed to later. That sounds like quite a show. No, but seriously, the crocodiles, how many crocodiles do you have?
Oh, we have one crocodile and
yeah.
We have two alligators.
Okay, so your job is to work with these animals and feed them and make sure they're properly cared for, or what exactly? What are you doing?
Yeah, we myself and a few other trainers work with them every single day. We make sure that they're fed, taken care of. We make sure that they're exhibits and enclosures are up to speed and everything, and we actually do training with the crocodilians, and crocodilians include crocodiles and alligators.
Okay.
But we're able to do some really cool things with them through our training. It keeps them mentally and physically, what's the word?
Nimble, engaged, I don't know.
Yeah, along those lines.
Okay.
But, it's cool. We just get to do a lot of different behaviors with them. They're trained mostly for husbandry, meaning that they help participate in their health care. So, we have them crate trained. If we ever had to transport them, we could call them into the crates. We can ask them to walk onto a scale so that we can weigh them.
Turn their head and cough, that kind of thing.
What'd you say?
Turn their head and cough and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, we go inside with them, too, and we're able to do tactiles with them so we can touch them and, lift up their feet and tails and stuff like that. So, nothing really too interesting as far as show behaviors go.
Right.
But, I mean, they're reptiles, so
yeah.
It's cool if they can do anything.
Well, it's a crocodile, for Christ's sakes. I mean, how big of a crocodile are we talking about that you're wrangling with down there?
That's anywhere between 6 and 8 feet.
Wow. That's impressive. I mean, if anyone's seen Lacey, that's pretty amazing that you're working with a reptile that large and training them what you need to train them to do. That's kind of cool. So you got those, you got some turtles and that kind of thing. And of course, they have the dolphins, but you're not working directly with them, at least at this point, huh?
Right, yeah. One day I hope to work my way up to marine mammals, but I'm having a lot of fun with the animals that I'm with right now.
Nice. Now, as part of those activities, are you actually getting in the water with them, and snorkeling or anything, or is it just kind of helping them around their pen or what?
Yeah, I mean, we get in the water with them all the time and swim around with them and stuff like that. Not the alligators and the crocodiles.
Right.
Don't worry about that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, with our turtles, we get in with them all the time. Our stingrays, we swim with every single day. And even our sharks, we get in with the water every day with the sharks. And We actually just trained some of our nurse sharks and started up a swim with the shark program.
Really?
So it's not just the trainers getting in with the water and swimming with the nurse sharks now. Guests can actually do it as well.
Wait, so are they getting in the water and snorkeling with the nurse sharks or what? What are they doing?
Yeah. Well, it's the way that the program works, you have two different types of interactions. The first, you get some hands-on stuff. You get to pet them, touch them, feel what they're like and stuff like that. You even get to hold them on your lap and have your picture taken with a shark on your lap.
Nice.
And then after that, you get to go around and snorkel with them and dive underwater with them and stuff like that and, you know, get to observe them in their natural habitat, which is a really cool experience.
Now, when you work there in an environment like that, is there any indication you get from the animals themselves, like, hey, they're really digging this, like they kind of roll over on their tummy, like, oh, scratch me here kind of thing, or what are you observing from that standpoint?
It all depends on the individual animal and stuff like that. Like, you know, with our sea turtles, some of the sea turtles love attention. They don't even care so much about food. They'll just come up to you because they want the attention from you. Like, some really enjoy having their shells rubbed, and you can sit there and, you know, rub their shells and they'll wiggle around a whole bunch and you can tell they're just like, oh, that feels good. I love it. Others, they'll come up to you, and if they see you don't have food, they have no interest. They'll swim away from you. They don't want to be touched or anything like that.
So they all have their own individual personalities.
Yeah, just like us.
Well, go figure. All right, hour two of Scuba Radio is on deck. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Thanks, Lacey.
You got it, Greg. I'll talk to you next time. That's why it's
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.